Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
For many of us, there have been times in our lives when we have looked at ourselves, who we are, who we were, how we have lived, and we have not always liked what we have seen. And so, with good intentions, we resolved to change. And while it is certainly possible to make incremental changes in our lives that are positive and that are helpful, the fact is that essentially, we are the same person. As the Lord pointed out in Jeremiah chapter 13, where He asked this question and said, "Can a leopard change his spots?" Well, the answer is, of course, he can't, because a leopard was born that way. So in the same way, it says in the Bible, by nature, we who are evil cannot do good. It is just who we are. We were born that way. And no amount of punishment, no amount of rehabilitation, no amount of education, no assistance, no resolve, no good intentions can change who we are, because our fundamental problem still remains. It is the same. The Lord has told us that in Jeremiah chapter 9, where He says everyone is a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor. Everyone does not speak the truth. They weary themselves, the Lord adds. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Why is this true? Why is this assessment true? Well, it is this, he says. It is because they refuse to know me. And there is the heart of our problem. Without a relationship with God, we are incapable of change. We are incapable of doing good. We need a transformation of our lives. We need a transformation of our mind. We need a transformation of our heart. And that only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything else is doomed to fail. Only He can make us a new creation and remove the spots, remove the stain of our sin, and make us as white as snow. And as we have been looking at Acts chapter 9, we have seen this transformation take place in the life of a man who in 1 Timothy 1:15 called himself the foremost of all sinners, the worst of all. Yes, he was well educated. He was well respected. He was even religious. And yet, he was lost in his sin without Christ. He was an enemy of the cross, as we are all enemies of God without Christ. He was an enemy of those who belonged to the Lord, persecuting them, murdering them. Yet, the Lord showed mercy to him, and He will show mercy to everyone who will come to Christ for salvation. So this man named Saul, who would later be known as the Apostle Paul, was on his way to the city of Damascus. He was on his way to arrest and to hurt those followers of Jesus. That was his plan. But the risen Savior stopped him in his tracks and revealed himself to Saul in a blinding light from heaven, and the life of Saul was transformed. He was never the same again. Before he knew Christ, he was dead in his sin. Now, he was alive, spiritually alive in him. He was no longer hostile. He was no longer full of hate. He was no longer like a wild animal tearing the church to pieces. And this should give us comfort. This should give us hope. Christ can remove those spots. He can remove the stain of our sin and give us a new heart, a new life, and a new destiny. And that is what happened to this man, Saul, on that road to Damascus. And seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ gave Saul spiritual insight. He finally understood the truth. He knew that Jesus Christ is God himself, the Lord of all. But physically, that light from heaven blinded his eyes. And so it says in Acts chapter 9, those who were with him had to lead him into the city of Damascus. And for 3 days, he was without sight, and he neither ate nor drank anything. He was waiting on the Lord. He was waiting on the Lord to direct his steps, as we are reminded by God in Psalm 46, verse 10, where he says, "Be still. Cease striving and know that I am God. Don't worry. Do not fear. His way is perfect. He is a shield to all who will take refuge in him." So we who belong to Christ can rest in him. He hears our cries. He hears our weeping day and night as we weep and mourn before him. We know that in his faithfulness and in his strength, he will answer us at the right time, and in a way that brings glory to his name. So in our heart, we submit to his will for us. We are the sheep of his pasture, and he will lead us like a flock through the desert to those springs of cool water for our soul. That's what Saul was doing, wasn't he? He was waiting. He was waiting on the Lord. As it says in verse 10 of Acts chapter 9, he was waiting for God. He was physically blind. He was alone. He had no friends. Had no family. He was just waiting. But in another part of the city, God was speaking to another man, a man who lived there. And in Acts 22, verse 12, this man is described as a devout man, a man who was diligent to observe the law of God, a man who was careful to honor him with his life. So that, it says, even the Jews in Damascus spoke well of this man. That's quite a testimony. And this man was a disciple, we're told. Mathetas in Greek. He was a learner. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. A man with a testimony for him in Damascus. Oh, I pray that that will be the kind of testimony we might have for Christ. That even those who are enemies will see that we seek to honor the Lord. And this man was named Ananias. It's a name which means God is gracious. And God certainly had been gracious to this man, Ananias, hadn't he? He's brought him to salvation in Christ, just like the Lord had been gracious to Saul and brought him to salvation as well. Oh, but remember, before Saul came to know the Lord on that Damascus road, he was looking to track down followers of Jesus in Damascus. He was looking to drag them off to Jerusalem in chains, to stand trial before the leaders of the nation of Israel. So, Ananias would have been one of those men that would have been targeted by Saul. And Ananias was unaware of what had happened to him on that road. And so, his courage, his faith in Christ was about to be tested and refined. And so it says in verse 10, the Lord said to him in a vision, horama in Greek, that which was seen and heard in his mind, either while he was awake or while he was asleep. But either way, the Lord made his presence known. And he called out his name and said, Ananias. And Ananias knew who it was, who was speaking to him, because he answered and said, behold, here am I. I'm ready. I hear your voice. I'm willing to listen. I'm ready to obey what you have to say to me. It's a reminder for us, isn't it? That Jesus has called each one of us to himself. We belong to him, and he has given us an assignment. So we must be ready. We must be willing to obey when he calls our name and speaks to us. So the Lord said to Ananias, arise, anistemi in Greek. Get up on your feet and go. Poriuomai, go, go now. Don't delay. Leave this place. For you have been chosen as an instrument to carry the message of the grace of God. So make your way to a street in the city, Hurume in Greek, to a crowded street, a busy street, a street full of people, a street called Straight, a street some 3 miles long that ran from the eastern gate of the city all the way to the western gate. And the Lord said, inquire, zeteo, keep on searching, keep on looking until you find the one to whom I am sending you. And at the house of a man by the name of Judas, a man who lives on that street, you are searching for a man, and you must ask for him, a man from the city of Tarsus by the name of Saul. For behold, Take note of this, the Lord tells Ananias. At this very moment, he is praying. Prosyukomai. He is lifting his voice up to heaven, a man who is broken before God, weeping over his sin. And I have heard his cries, the Lord says. And I am about to answer his prayers through you, Ananias. Sometimes we are the answer to the prayers of others. Other times, they are the answer to our prayers. And just as you have seen a vision, the Lord tells Ananias, so he has seen a vision. And in this vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. He has seen you. He's seen you come into the house of Judas, and lay your hands on him so that he might regain his sight. For at this moment, not only is he praying, but Saul is blind. Well, blind or not, this was a difficult and a dangerous assignment as far as Ananias was concerned, since he had heard nothing good about this man. And now, the Lord had set them on a course to bring them together, not as enemies, but as brothers in Christ. But Ananias didn't know that. And so he answered the Lord, and he expressed his doubt, and he expressed his fear. And he said in verse 13, Lord, I've heard the reports from many people, from many of your followers, chilling reports about this man, reports from eyewitnesses, people who were there, who saw these things. The reputation of this man has preceded him. How much harm, kakos, how much damage, how much trouble, how much evil he did to thy saints, hagios, to those who belong to you, those who you called out of darkness, who you called into the light of salvation. These are people who belong to you. I've heard about these terrible things that he did at Jerusalem, punishing your followers, often trying to force them to blaspheme your name. And here in Damascus, he adds in verse 14, he has authority, exousia. He has jurisdiction. He has authorization from the chief priest in Jerusalem to bind, deo, to put in chains prisoners, your people, to put them in chains, in misery and in affliction, like criminals, to bind all who call upon thy name. What the Lord was asking of Ananias certainly did not seem reasonable to him, at least not to his way of thinking. But the Lord said to Ananias, verse 15, go, do not hesitate. Do not fear, for this man, Saul, has been chosen by me, ekloge in Greek. He has been divinely selected for a special assignment. He is a chosen instrument of mine, skuos in Greek. He is a vessel. He is an implement. To bear, bastazo, to carry my name before the Gentiles and before kings and before the children of Israel. This is his assignment that has been given to him by me, by God. A call not according to man, but a call according to a sovereign choice, the sovereign choice of God himself. For I will show him, the Lord tells Ananias in verse 16. Hupo deknemi, I will mark the path. I will outline the way that he will go. I will warn him about how much, how many things he must suffer and endure for my name's sake as a minister of the gospel. Wow. And so, given this assurance by the Lord, Ananias got himself up and we're told he departed. And he entered the house of this man, Judas. And after laying his hands on Saul, he said this in verse 17. Brother Saul, whatever differences there were, now they were all gone. Now these two men were brothers in Christ. And Ananias continued to speak to him and conveyed to him the information that he had been given by the Lord. And he said, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming here, he has sent me to you as you have already been told by him would happen, so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit to empower you like the wind fills the sails of a ship, to be directed by him in order to serve Christ, separated unto him so he might guide you into all truth and begin to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. And immediately we are told in verse 18, Euthaos, at once, just as the words were out of his mouth, there fell from his eyes, we're told, something that looked like scales, lepis in Greek, like the scales of a fish, and they just peeled away from his eyes, and he regained his sight. And Acts chapter 22 says this, that Saul looked up at Ananias. He could see again. And what was the first thing that he saw? He saw this brother in Christ standing there. And Ananias added this in Acts chapter 22. He said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear an utterance from his mouth. This is your assignment, Saul. This is your call that has been given to you by the Lord. You will be a witness. You will be a witness for him to everyone, to all men, a witness of what you have seen and what you have heard. So Ananias says, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized, publicly confessing your faith in Christ, that your sins have been washed away by him. And so it says in verse 18 of Acts chapter 9, Saul arose and he was baptized, and he took food and he was strengthened. Then it says, for several days he was with the disciples who were there in Damascus. He spent time together with them, with his newly found brothers and sisters in Christ, with his new family, those who belong to Jesus Christ will long to be with his people, as we are warned in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, where it says, we know that we have passed out of death and into life. How? It says, because we love the brethren. But he who does not love, it adds, still abides in death. So those of us who know Christ, those of us who belong to him are here. We are together, together with one heart, with one mind, with one spirit. So together we rejoice. We sing a new song. We sing of our salvation. Our Lord has won the victory over our sin. He has removed our spots. He has removed our sin. So let us give thanks to him, for his loving kindness towards us is everlasting. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.